You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Judging by Marlon Favre's emoji, which is the open mouth, wide-eyed, smiley face, I don't know if he's disappointed that ESPN has the Cowboys at 13 or excited that he's at 13 considering they missed the playoffs last week. Just for you, Marlon, I'll read what they have about the Cowboys. Defensive tackle Antoine Woods did not sign with the Cowboys until May 30th, but he has worked his way up the depth chart. I see why he likes him. It's about a D tackle. He's now the starting nose tackle. Dropped 20 pounds after signing with the Cowboys and has the quickness Rob Marinelli wants in that spot. The Cowboys have their eye on him for a while, tried to sign him off the Titans practice squad last year. Might not start opening day, but has impressed enough that would be in the mix and a part of the offensive line rotation. So there you go, Marlon. Congratulations. You got a player that's, he's impressed. He's opened up eyes, but won't be good enough to play on opening day. I mean, there you go. There you go. We're good. But your Saints, number three. What do they have on the Falcons? These are the ESPN power rankings. It is what it is. You like to see them higher than lower normally. They are at 9, the Falcons. Green Bay Packers at 8. You're still not a Bayern believer in Aaron Rodgers. Are you seeing the flack that he's getting, Aaron Rodgers, based off of him calling out receivers, saying the practice isn't as good as he would like it to be?
I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but just because I don't like him doesn't mean I'm going to bash him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great quarterback. I just don't think he's as good as Drew Brees. What do you think he is?
Aaron Rodgers says he hopes his comments last week about the Packers wide receivers were professional and not meant to be personal. He hopes they weren't soft over the criticisms. Here's the thing. If you got a guy that's won the MVP and it's the guy that's going to lead you to a postseason victory, Super Bowl victory. See, again, this is one of the things you don't see with the Saints, right? I'm trying to think if I've ever heard a story from Drew Brees reference his team being soft, line being soft, receivers being soft. I can't ever remember that. Now, to the credit of the young receivers, there's always been somebody in the elder statesman department that has kind of showed you the way. And for the most part, I think with the receivers coach, with Curtis Johnson, it goes to coaching and goes to leadership. Like, I'm just trying to think why they would say that. Now, the Saints were 7-9 for some reasons. It's bad drafts, bad players, didn't buy into the system and such. But Ted Ginn, it's interesting because you're trying to think of who's really the leader or maybe the voice of reason, that veteran in the receiving corps. It's clearly Ted Ginn, only in his second season with this team. But I enjoy listening to the talk. I asked him, what's the biggest step, right? It's a vet. From week one to week two in that preseason, what's the one thing you're looking to take that next step as a player individually and also as a team? And it was interesting that he said, for the most part, it wasn't per se physical.
Don't make the same mistake. That's really it. Don't make the same mistake, man. Be on your P's and Q's. You know, and just learning how to work for the next man next to you.
You think it's more mental than physical, maybe?
Oh, it's both. This game is always mental and physical. There's nowhere you're going to get around that.
Getting into that second week of the preseason?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. You know, we're at that point where coach see where we can be and want us to get there. You know, there's nothing wrong for him to come out and be on our butts and be on our ass like he's doing now. You know, I've been in this a long time. So, you know, somewhere down the line you got to prep your team to get ready for the season.
Remember I was talking to Sean Kelly a little bit, but especially Mike Triplett about it specifically in hour number one, in that it's just odd, right? something you pick up just from covering him for a while. Sean Payton, it's happy Saturday. Sunday, could have been better. Monday, it wasn't a good practice. Devontae Harris, two penalties inside of 2 minutes against the Jags. Peace out. Now member Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right? Traquan Smith, Jordan the intern, high praise. Mike Triplett, high praise. Lots of people, high praise. Look good. Sean Payton, didn't know where to line up. Didn't line up. Defense, 6 sacks, a turnover that led to the game-winning score. Sean wanted nothing to do with the way the team played and tackled. You remember? This is what he had to say about the tackling against the Jags on Sunday.
The other night, just okay. Just okay. You know, that first drive, everyone had their nachos, their hot dogs, their Coke, and they were on to the freaking churros. You know, it was 15 plays.
Do they have churros in a dome?
Do they?
No, that's what I'm saying. I want some churros in a dome.
I thought for sure they had some churros. They have Dippin' Dots, which I love Dippin' Dots. I don't think they have churros. We have to get on Sean about that.
Okay. I don't know if this is a weird revelation. I love beignets. Right? Are you a beignet guy? You probably don't. You like beignets. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, the density
here
has to be.
You see? I'm just not going
to
ask you.
They have to be fluffy.
What is wrong with you?
They have to be fluffy.
They have to be fluffy, huh?
Don't be squishing up my beignet to where it's flat and all crusty.
I know what
you're saying.
You want a nice poofy beignet.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of basically a hard pancake.
Right.
Yes. No, sometimes they can overcook them. I hear what you're saying. So you want a nice poofy pancake.
Nice beignet. Poofy beignet.
All right. Beignet bites.
Whoa.
Smaller squares. Just like, in the mall, you got the pretzel people,
mm-hmm.
right? They have the little pretzel bites.
Yeah.
What about beignet bites?
Ooh.
One of those 16-ounce cups, right? They're just bite-sized beignets. Which a beignet, it's a couple of bites, you know what I'm saying? But you need
not
two, three
messy.
Bites.
Not as messy.
Bingo.
Gus.
Bingo. Put 3 or 4 in there, powdered sugar. 3 more, 4, powdered sugar. It's all there. Here's your cup. And then you can just.
After this?
You can do it with a fork. You can just grab it with a fork.
After this show, we're going to go to the Superdome. We're going to propose this.
I'm just saying, if anybody wants to go in on this little bite-sized beignets, I'm in.
Let's go.
I'm in.
I'm all in. Flock up.
To me, bite-sized beignets make so much sense. I've always said this, that in our stadiums, we should have unique foods that are to us. Like if you go on a road trip, or the road team has its fans come in. They should think, hey, I'm going to go check out a Pels game or a Saints game. There's something unique. You know, red beans and rice, catfish nuggets, things like that, like jambalaya. I mean, things that are unique to us. But I always thought, I could go for that. I could go for little beignet bites. Count of 8, maybe? All you have to do is just make a beignet and you just cut it.
They need to renovate, I don't know.
Well,
this might sound crazy.
No, it doesn't, because the dome is going it's going to go into a lot of renovations here in the next couple of years.
That whole outside that's on the lower level?
Yeah.
Where you can see, from where you're walking around the dome?
Yeah.
You just need to turn that into a French Quarter, where it looks like the French Quarter, and just have different little places.
Well, there is. There is a commission there's a group that's been commissioned, and they're looking into it. I mean, the Saints are paying for it. It's going to happen. Like, they're renovating the heck out of the dome.
To make it look like a...
No, not... I don't know if it's going to be like... No, not... Let me finish. It may not be the quarter, but they're going to look at whether or not it's a retractable roof. Do you enclose the outside area? To me, I get rid of that parking, make that green space so you can tailgate and put tents and all kinds of different things. Build a bigger parking garage over in one of that empty lots that's next to the parking garage where the mall parking used to be over there.
Don't make it an open top. That's
a retractable roof. Yeah. You don't want a retractable roof.
Ew, no.
You don't want a nice October, November football game.
No.
What was it? What's it?
Keep me indoors.
You know what? Something.
That's our advantage.
Okay. No, it's not.
How?
How is it your advantage to be indoors in the air conditioning?
Other teams that don't.
What?
Play
other teams
indoors?
Don't like to play indoors. Where
other
the elements don't help you.
No, Gus.
Exactly.
All right. So
no, you make it even Stevens.
You're not gonna,
playing indoors is even Stevens. Both teams have the same conditions.
You're not going to have it open when it's snowing. So there's no conditions.
Yeah, it snows often here.
It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful.
Which is why you open it.
So how is the conditions going to change anything?
You know what? I'm not. You don't understand.
Just put a glass roof up.
Getting back to Ted Ginn. Because I was talking about this a little bit of excitement on Friday. Remember with Jay Hargrave, I was like, look, I think it matters. You want to win as many times as you got. It never gets old winning, right? I don't think you win and you feel bad. Makes you feel good when you win, if anything. And I asked Ted Ginn, does it matter, obviously, if you win in preseason?
No, I believe you always told to win. You know, you always want to put your best foot forward, you know. It always look better when you got a W at the end of it, you know. But it just show you how to win, keep you in tune, keep your team knowing what the goal is really about, you know. And just going out, man, is eager for the young guys to come out and do the things that they do to hold up the standard for the old guys, you know what I'm saying? So it's teaching a lot of, you know, leadership and a lot of, you know, what I should be doing.
One of the other things that he said that was interesting as well was the fact, I didn't realize this until he started saying it, but the constant learning football players do at different positions. And Marlon, if you're listening, listen to what Ted Ginn here says. He goes through a list of players that are currently playing a certain position for the Saints. Maybe didn't start there. I said it, Marlon, yesterday when you were on. Maybe you should have been a quarterback at LSU with that howling serve of a left arm that you showed at New Orleans Harley Davidson last Saturday. This is Ted Ginn saying, look, you know, you need to keep learning as many positions as possible.
How we was taught when we was growing up, I don't think nobody's here really playing a position that they started out with. You know what I'm saying? I was a number one corner. Now I play receiver. Marshawn started off playing receiver. He's the number one corner. You know, Justin Hardy played receiver. Now he's a corner, you know. It's just crazy. I mean, J-Ron played DN and linebacker, you know, and can run with the best of them. You know what I'm saying? So we were just always taught, you know, to play multiple positions.
Jordan, wouldn't you agree Marlon Favorite played D-tackle? Could have played quarterback at LSU.
But the Army has, pretty.
Dude, that would have been his thing. You know, Johnny Manziel did the money thing. I can just hear it now. He's mic'd up, throws a touchdown. It's a rocket, right? He throws like a 40-yard laser over the middle. Ball gets stuck in the receiver's face mask. He doesn't even have to catch it. He just walks in with the ball in the face mask.
Does that count as a touchdown?
Yeah, of course it could. Ball crossed it.
Yeah, but it's not possessed.
Well, I mean, they would put their hands on it, Jordan. It's not like they're just going to... Yeah, exactly. They're just going to run with the hands on their side with the football in their helmet. No, they're going to put their hands on it and try to dislodge and carry it.
That is a good question.
But I'm just saying, right? No, it's not a good question. It's a silly question. No, my point is, right after the touchdown, Marlon just points, right? Points to the other sideline. Hello, somebody! That is live sound, recorded sound of Marlon Favorite in the football toss. Dude, I was like 2-3 feet from it. And after that first toss, I backed up.
Wimp.
Just for that, you're going, we're going to do the old apple on top of the head with the archer thing.
Okay.
And we're going to test Marlon Favorite's accuracy, which, right, judging by his performance, he'll hit the black mat, you know, the football toss. You're going to stand there.
And blindfold them.
Yeah, you got to stand.
Not Jordan.
Just to the left of the opening where the receiver's hands are, uh-huh, and see if Marlon can either get it into the opening for a catch.
I'll have faith in him.
Or drill the intern.
Oh.
Blindfold Marlon.
He gets one toss. Putting your well-being,
okay,
and possible concussion,
okay,
on the left arm of a Marlon Favorite.
And what do I get for doing this?
Nothing. We get clicks because it's going on video. Like Joey right now, I can hear it in his voice. He can't wait until Saturday afternoon when that goes live.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I'd pay for it on pay-per-view. I promise.
See? I'm just saying. We're going to be tuning in to see if Marlon either completes the ball into the hole for a catch or he drills you anywhere on the 6'3" frame of Jordan the intern.
My bad.
You have to stand there like the soccer guys do, right? On a free kick. I mean, where do you put your hands? Do you cover your face or something else? Because here it comes. Here comes the howitzer. Here comes the football. What are you covering?
Everything. My hands are so quick, Gus.
All right.
You saw it.
Oh, we'll
you
see.
You threw up a ball.
Uh-huh.
Brian tried to catch it, tipped it away from him.
Yeah, and you caught it.
And I caught it.
You did. Could have been a tight end. Remember that, folks. We come back. Ted Ginn on Marcus Williams. Then we'll hear from Marcus Williams, who spoke this weekend about the improvements as he has made from his first year as a rookie to now. That's the Sports Hangover. Bottom of the hour, Ken Tran will touch on a topic that we've had earlier in the day today about the whole Maryland situation over there. What's that fine line and how you can motivate players without being demeaning, without belittling them, and yet try to motivate a player, an athlete, to reach that level of competition that maybe is on, you know, they didn't think they could achieve or attain. So we'll talk a little bit with that with him when we come back. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Parents who let their kids drink need to know that alcohol is the worst drug of all for kids. Part of the reason is parents think it's the safest drug or they don't think it's a drug at all. The truth is, alcohol kills more kids than all illegal drugs combined. Traffic crashes are the number one killer of teens, and over one-third of teen traffic deaths are alcohol-related. Brought to you by the Prevention Partnership, South Central Louisiana Human Services Authority, and the Louisiana Partnership for Success Project.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. That's 800-708-3091.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Don't forget tomorrow we'll be at Shipley's Donuts over in Old Metairie. Come check us out, 2561 Metairie Road. 12 to 3 p.m. And then on Thursday, we'll be live at Vinny's as we are each and every Thursday, our new home for the ESPN Thursday Lunch Club, 3217 Ridgelake. It's 18th and Ridgelake. It's the next street past Causeway, heading towards Bonneville. That's Ridgelake. Swing on by, have some lunch. You got to try the Italian chicken wrap.
Do I?
The burger's good, too. Real big. Juicy. But the wraps are delicious. And also, they're the home of the, they claim the best happy hour in town. You know why, Jordan?
Why?
Three to seven. And it's every day. 7 days a week.
Okay.
That means on a Saturday and Sunday, yep, you have happy hour, 3 to 7. And on weekends, that's football time. So you can have a little fun with that as well. Also,
wait, you never told me.
What?
Wait, why is it?
Ah, there it is, Vinny's.
Why is it the best happy?
I just told you why it's the best happy hour in town. Because it's 7 days a week. Most happy hours are like to five.
What are they giving me?
Do you ever pay attention? Yeah, exactly. What are you getting? You're getting most happy hours. I don't know many happy hours that are at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. So, which means if you get off of work at 5, you still have 2 hours of happy hour.
Yeah.
Right? B.
It's
handcrafted cocktails as well. It's not just like, a domestic or two. Like you have some, like the pork belly old fashioned and some other delicious handcrafted cocktails.
Okay.
That are on special because it's a happy hour and it's every day. How many places do you know have a happy hour Saturday and Sundays? Not many.
Sonic.
What? Okay, you know, go get your cherry limeade. The adults will have a different kind of cherry limeades. Ted Ginn. He was asked about Marcus Williams. Again, one of the players that many feel is a star of training camp so far this season. And his ability really to kind of cover the field, he says, is what separates him from other safeties he's played against.
Oh, man, he gets from sideline to sideline. I mean, that's amazing when a guy can line up on one hash and get to the other side and still make a play on the ball. You know, somewhere down the line, he's got to master in that, you know. And he always there, even though if he's a step late or a step early, he always there. And then with the hops that he have, you know, it make him exceptional.
Head coach Sean Payton on Marcus Williams' growth.
Has he taken this summer?
I think significantly, and you remember, you know, when we drafted him, we felt like he was very, very intelligent, and you're seeing that. He understands splits. He understands 3-by-1, 2-by-2, what he's leaning to, and I think he plays the run well, and he communicates well. So he's doing very well.
As for Marcus Williams, he was asked, does he rely mainly on just instincts?
I rely on my film study, my instincts. I rely on everything put together. You don't just rely on one thing. Great players have a lot of things in their repertoire to, you know, be better. So I have a lot of things in my bag to just in order so I can be best on the field.
Indeed. One of the other things, too, is he says he's just trying to get smarter all the way around.
I mean, it's just a process. Every day you got to get better. I just focus on getting better each day. That helps me get comfortable in the film room, on the in the playbook. So it just helps me become a better player, really.
And he says, obviously, when he does get those interceptions, gives credit to his teammates.
Everybody is helping out, you know, the linebackers and the safeties. We all work together. That's how I get my picks. It's not just me just, you know, going out there and catching them. It's everybody working together as a tandem. That's how I get them.
I think it's been fun to watch the battle between he and Drew Brees a lot in the games or, you know, in the team periods. He's picked them off a couple times. He went 3 straight days, if you remember last week, of interception. I want to say Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Leading into the Jaguars game. How does that battle help him?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, just coming out here, focusing, practicing every day with a great quarterback like him just helps me to get better. So with him out here, you know, throwing the ball, coaching, he you know, he's coaching me. He sees me out there. I see him, and every time I see him, I'm like, I got to make a play. It's just helping me be better for the other quarterbacks I'm going to play. It makes it easier for me. So having a great quarterback like him is always going to make me better.
Now, does Brees give him some words of wisdom or, I guess, chatter back and forth as to what they can do?
He's just telling me, if you're going over here, you know, I'm trying to stare you off. So don't be trying to get out of the middle too quick because I'm going to throw it on that hash if you get off the hash. So he just, you know, those little tips that I need just for other quarterbacks just when I go up against them.
Yeah, especially like Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Mueller. I'm already looking forward to that week 3 game, just letting you know. Not overlooking Cleveland. I'm not overlooking Tampa, but week 3 is that test. Week 3 is, that, to me, that test. Kurt Coleman brought in from the Panthers in the offseason. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, several players have already given praise to the leadership qualities that Kurt Coleman's brought in. Kurt Coleman, if you remember early in camp, talked about, what, 5, 6 defensive coordinators that he have? I want to say 5. So he pretty much knows every defense, different looks. And when you have young safeties like Von Bell and Marcus Williams, to me, that's fantastic to be able to have somebody like that.
Kurt's a smart guy. You know, he's always trying to be that leader on the field. So he's making sure that I'm always have my head in the game. I'm always right in the right spot. Helps me in a strong safety spot so I can play both. We just work together.
It is. It'll be fun to kind of see the continual growth of Marcus Williams as well. Hey, also on Friday, it was a battle, or at least it is will be a battle, right? Boston Scott, you're following him as part of your rookie reports. Join the intern, Boston Scott. He had a carry for, what, 7 yards.
He was stopped at the goal line.
And then he had 3 receptions, though. I mean, returns.
So, one for 40 yards, which was brought back on a what, a hold call on the kickoff?
But look, he's going to make this team on that, right? And Brandon Tate, Sean Payton kind of made no bones about it. That if Brandon Tate's going to make this team, it probably won't be on receiver.
Well, he made a few plays today. And yet, you know, listen, he's going to have to make it first as a returner.
So, not to say that he may not help in the receiving game. Scored a touchdown over the weekend. Tom Savage fitting it in there. But it's definitely going to be, to me, right? And I mean, so you listen to Sean Payton, it's the returner. That position battle's still open. But for a guy like Boston Scott, look, that's it's going to be key for him. On what his performance has been like so far in camp?
Pretty good. You know, it's a learning process. Been learning every single day, soaking up as much wisdom as I can. It's always good to get out there and get my feet wet, get adjusted to the speed of the game. But, believe that I'm here for a reason. So it's just been adjusting to the game and taking it a day at a time.
Now that speed of the game question.
Preseason game one in the books. How do you feel with the speed of the game right now?
I feel pretty good. You know, the one rep I did get on offense, you know, it was cool, you know. So I'm excited to get a few more touches to really get adjusted to it, and I'll be able to, you know, tell you a little bit more then. But as of that carry, you know, I'm excited about what the future holds.
Brian Enola East with the question there. Jordan, you thought that long kick return against the Jags was pretty indicative of what maybe he can do as a returner? Showed some skill set there, didn't it?
No, it's always good to break one like that. I mean, kudos to the kickoff return team. You know, it's only as good as the kickoff return team and what their blocking scheme is. So, you know, we had Griff who made a great, great block at the halfback position, and from there I was able to spring one. So I was juiced up, but the kickoff return team did a really good job. And
he's going to get an opportunity. You know, I mean, obviously he's going to get that shot. And look, I don't know how many more touches. Look, to me, I think it's Jonathan Williams. I think you either keep Vereen or West, one of those two, right? You still got to have some other experiences or not. But Boston Scott, you kind of heard him reference it earlier. He wants some touches in the backfield as well.
I sure hope so. You know, but I'm not really worried about how many carries it is. I mean, I would like a carry, but you know, it doesn't matter how many opportunities there are. It's the quality of the rep. So whatever opportunities I do get, I'm gonna maximize on.
As for his mindset overall going into this week,
I believe so. It's just been staying in the playbook, studying. Just making sure that I stay on top of that. You know, that's how I'm able to play a little bit faster than what, you know, say when I first got out here. You know, it's just staying on top of it, studying, and those things take care of themselves.
Indeed. Guys, a development out of Maryland, Jordan the intern, and you can give us that as we go into break. And out of the break, Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports, Saints Hall of Fame, will join us also. Been covering the prep scene a long, long time. And we'll talk a little bit about that fine line between coaches of motivating players and, well, getting fired, Jordan the intern.
Maryland parts with strength coach Rick Court in wake of Jordan McNair's death, keeps DJ Durkin on leave.
I don't see how you keep the coach. You know? I mean, the whole culture. I mean, you're telling me it's just the strength and conditioning coach?
I don't know. You could keep
just him.
Anybody who saw it happen.
That's what I'm saying. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp report is sponsored by Habana Port Cigar Merchants, with locations in Metairie and Baton Rouge. Browse their large selection of premium cigars, accessories, and gift items, and visit them online at HabanaPort.com.
As the Saints transition into preseason game number 2 against Phoenix in the Dome on Friday, head coach Sean Payton is sending a clear message. Mental errors like Devontae Harris last week gets you a ticket out of town. Practice and gameplay goes into the evaluation process.
But every snap of that game gets looked at closely. So you can't disappear into a punt or kickoff for a play. It's getting rewound 8 times and we're evaluating the effort, you know, the technique. Does he know what to do? And then, you know, how's he doing it?
Do well in practice and in games, you earn Peyton's praise, such as Jaron Elliott.
If you can rush and then find a way in the kicking game, those are 2 good things. Those are 20 play traits. So that was encouraging. I thought he did pretty well the other night.
Devereaux Lawrence.
He's getting a lot of reps, and he'll get more as we continue to go, and he's in heat of competitions. I think we're pretty deep in a few of those positions inside, and so he's competing.
And Taylor Stallworth.
He's doing well. He's right there. He's competing. He's doing well.
I'm Gus Kattengill. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report has been brought to you by Habana Port Cigar Merchants, your exclusive provider of Davidoff Premium Cigars in New Orleans. Stop in at their locations in Metairie and Baton Rouge.
Cigar smoking is all about the flavor. And at Habana Port Cigar Merchants, their certified experts will recommend the perfect blend and size for your personal enjoyment. Browse their over 2,000 premium cigar brands and unique accessories. And try Habana Port's preseason football sampler pack for $19.95. That's three premium cigars for only $19.95. Habana Port Cigar Merchants in Metairie and Baton Rouge. Learn more at HabanaPort.com. An exclusive appointed merchant of Davidoff. HabanaPort.com.
Thinking about new floors? Don't pay retail. Shop where the dealers buy at New Orleans Flooring Distributors, where the products are direct from the manufacturer and now open to the public, offering South Louisiana high-quality flooring products at prices that cannot be beat, from hardwood to vinyl to carpet. So whether you're building your dream home or just fixing up, call New Orleans Flooring Distributors today, 504-249-6394, 504-249-6394, or visit them on LNA Road off Airline and Metairie and online at NOLAFlooring.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
The good, the bad, and the uncertain for LSU as the season draws near. You can catch that story and many more, CrescentCitySports.com. Ken Trahan runs the sports site. You can join him also on Twitter at Ken Trahan to do that as well. Joins us this afternoon to talk a number of topics here. Ken, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
Doing fantastic. And over at Crescent City Sports, you're asking high school football coaches to go over there. You got a little questionnaire for them.
Indeed. And we get good response by and large. And some are very industrious and they care about it. And others, you have to chase and chase and chase and maybe don't get it as much as the other guy, you know? But yeah. Bottom line is it's all about getting that information out to people because the public loves to see it. They like to know what's going on. And, oh, by the way, when we get that information, we write a story about the team.
Yeah. Look, I want to say, what, 25 years? How long have you done high school football?
Well, I did my first game in 1978, if that gives you any perspective.
Well, I was born in 76, so 40
years. Your
secret's
safe with me, man.
Exactly.
Okay, we won't tell anybody.
No, that's crazy. No, but that's my point. 40 years, so we'll call you an expert on high school football and how it goes here in the state of Louisiana. The reason I'm asking you, too, is the Maryland situation that took place. And it just came out that the strength and conditioning coach, they've parted ways. They're keeping the coach on paid administrative leave. I talked to you a little bit earlier about this, especially in a state where there's so much talent in high school. I'm trying to go over in my mind, there really aren't that many stories like this. Right, is an occasional unfortunate accident or something that takes place out of practice, something like that. But verbal abuse, slapping food out of kids' hands, things of that nature. For the most part, the state's seen some really good coaches, and they care about their players at that high school level. You had such a long experience of dealing with coaches and getting to know them. What is that line of motivating an athlete, Ken, and being careful and not being derogative, demeaning, belittling them, but at the same time pushing them to become an athlete as the best they can?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic because we live in such a politically correct environment now that you have to be pretty much careful about everything you say. That said, I think it really is all about where you're at. The high-level programs, I mean, the very, very high-visibility programs, there's no way you could possibly come close to getting away with the kind of behavior that we're talking about here with Maryland because there's so much scrutiny. So many eyes on the program, even if you can't go to practice, right? But in a program at a mid-level, say at a mid-level, Maryland's in a major conference, but it's not a major player. And the attention that's spent on that program is nowhere near, say, the attention you see at an LSU.
Right.
So something can slip through the cracks, or it might take time for a story to gestate and then manifest itself. And I think that was the case in this situation. To answer the question about how you, what's the line you cross, look, I think it's a situation where I've always believed that you have to have a set of rules. rules are rules. They're rules for a reason, and everybody has to abide by them. But in terms of how you handle kids, I do think you have to handle them differently. Some kids respond well to being pressured. Some kids respond well to being motivated and pushed, and some kids respond terribly to that type of thing. So it really does depend on the individual. Look, I coached a lot of playground teams in my time, and that's the way I approach things. I just identified who the kids were, and I said,
right,
this kid, I can really push him because he'll run through a brick wall, whereas the other kid wouldn't run through a sheet of wet paper. So you got to treat him with a little bit more of kindness and patience and try to prod him to try a little bit harder, right? So I think it's all individualistic in that regard, and I think it has to be. But in this day and age, it's kind of hard to hide anything, isn't it? And, you know, there is denial of people being able to see practice. Media can't see those kind of things, and they're shielded from a lot. But, again, how much can you really shield things when everybody talks, whether they're speaking to somebody personally or using social media to do it?
Right.
Ultimately, it's going to get out, and that was the case here, just like it was the case at Ohio State with the situation surrounding Zach Smith. So it may take more time in some instances than others, but I think ultimately it all comes out.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one of the things, Ken, certainly with Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports and New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame, we'll get you some info on how you can attend that induction that's coming up here for Lance Moore, Pierre Thomas, and Michael C. Hebert. One of the things, Ken, that, because I have coached Little League, and, you know, language is an easy way you can look at it and go, hey, look, making fun of somebody, cursing, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the physical one, right? Like, if I got to condition athletes, you need to condition. So you have to run. How much of I go by the common sense rule, right? If somebody's complaining, right, you can kind of see they're struggling, they're laboring, they're breathing. You know, you don't make fun of them. What's wrong? I would rather almost err on the side of caution. But language is a little more easily correctable than perhaps physical habits and practice habits that maybe when that coach grew up was okay, whereas now they're more dangerous to it. Like, I mean, Ken, you know, you grew up in it, and I did too. Drinking water was seen as a sign of weakness, whereas now Sean Payton has a, you know, this refrigerator that mm-hmm. when players go in, he literally has a team period at 2 p.m. that's called recovery. I mean, things have changed, but I guarantee you when he came up, dude, if you know, get hurt, you walked it off, you rubbed dirt on it, and if you wanted water, you were something else.
Well, listen, I can only cite my own experience. When I was 12 years old, I made the Jefferson Parish All-Star team in baseball, and believe it or not, they had me catching. And I caught two games in one day, and it was the heat. It was the, you know, I mean, the dead of summer, it's like
right.
June. And in the second game, I passed out. And the next thing I know, I was sitting on the sofa at Lakeshore Playground in Metairie, being awakened, and they're waving hands over my face like for air and everything else. And I just popped up and said, hey, you passed out. And they gave me a salt tablet. That was the solution then, right? So, I mean, listen, nowadays there's no excuse for not hydrating players properly or taking better care of them because they understand completely the dynamic in place. How much you can push guys, again, I do think it gets back to what I said initially. It's individualistic. Some guys can just run the gauntlet and run 5,000 steps, and other guys can't run 5 steps. So I think you have to understand the individual you're dealing with, too. And, of course, you better understand if there's a pre-existing condition.
Yeah. There's no doubt it's crazy that in today's day, it's everything's accessible. I can go get info. I can do that. You have so many hospitals and local places here that have, you know, specialized either trainers or athletic trainers that go to high schools and stuff, and that's their job that they do and monitor. And I think Ken's going to get to the point in time where you will see high schools, and I understand budgets and all that, but, mm-hmm. you know, having an athletic trainer somewhere goes a long way in helping this.
You've got to have people on the scene qualified, and, oh, by the way, that are willing to stand up to a strong,
the coach,
bullheaded
right?
coach, right? Yep. So, I mean, that's very important to have that type of individual. If you've got that guy that's just going to fall in line and acquiesce and keep his mouth shut, I'm not sure that's good for a program. In fact, I'm sure it's not good. You like to have somebody that he's there for a reason. He understands these things, these dynamics better than you do. Therefore, you might want to pay attention to what he has to say about a certain situation. And like you said, the Saints have the ice box, the ice truck. Everybody's using all kinds of measures to make sure that they combat this. Look, when I started covering the Saints training camp. It was first training camp I went through was 1978. And that was just 1 year removed from Hank Stram having been the head coach. And you know what Hank Stram did when he was in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have two-a-days. They had three-a-days sometimes. Three practices in one day. Not every day, but on occasion. And the other days, two-a-days. Nowadays, if you try to do that, the Players Association would sue you and win easily because they've got it in a collective bargaining agreement that you can't do that. But in those days, and I think that gets back to the other point that you made originally, things have changed dramatically from those days. I mean, you have to be cognizant of what the rules are now. You have to be cognizant of fitness. You have to be cognizant of what's best for the players. Another great example of that would be the Saints have a wonderful facility that the Pelicans share as well, and they have food on campus every day in their cafeteria. And up until about 5 years ago, they used to serve all kinds of ice cream in there, desserts. Well, about 5 years ago, they got a new person, strength and conditioning, and a new nutritionist, and they changed it. And right. They don't have that stuff in there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
you're going to eat, if you want that kind of dessert, you want a dessert, you're going to be eating some kind of grain bar,
Yeah.
So it's a different dynamic, but again, that's a sign of the times.
CrescentCitySports.com is the website to get your local information all the way around from prep all the way to colleges as well. Rapid fire here, Ken. Let's do 60 seconds apiece here. What are you hearing out of Tulane? They suffered an injury to a receiver in Freddie Canteen, who they kind of was hoping it would add a little depth to it, but again, just bad luck. He had shoulder injuries coming into Tulane. Shoulder injury gets him out of Tulane.
Yeah, this is a guy that's on with two major programs, and he's just not been able to get on the field consistently. And so, tough break. But they have two good ones coming back, so I think they'll be fine.
When it comes to the LSU Tigers, what are you hearing out of there? Obviously, that one scrimmage, another one's coming up on Saturday, just two weekends away from getting ready to take on Miami.
Yeah, defense, defense, defense. We all knew their defense was going to be good, if not very good. And we all knew their offense was going to be questionable. Do we have any different opinion now?
Yeah. No, kind of seems that way, right? We're not going to know what this offense is going to be like. And Coach O saying he's not happy with his O-line. So we'll see that until, obviously, they take on Miami on that Sunday of opening weekend. Saints, what did you think against the Jags? And really, what are you going to be keeping an eye on come Friday night in the Superdome?
Yeah, depth. Saints have depth. It's that simple. I mean, that's my takeaway from what happened. Don't even pay attention to what the first unit defense did initially. They were vanilla as can be, and they were missing three key guys. So don't get excited about that. But it's pretty obvious they have depth. They're going to cut players that can play in the NFL. Good teams do that annually.
I agree, and that means they are going to be a good team. Finally, why don't you tell us how folks can get some tickets to go see the Hall of Fame induction and gala for Lance Moore, Pierre Thomas, and Michael C. Hebert.
Yeah, special. September 14th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Club 44 in Encore at Champion Square. $75 a ticket. Go to StHallOfFame.com. You can call 504-471-2192. Or you can email me at StHallOfFame@Yahoo.com. Again, the induction is first at 7 o'clock for Lance Moore, Pierre Thomas, and Michael C. Hebert. And then the gala follows with 27 restaurants and caterers. Bring your appetite. A beer, wine, soft drinks, water.
Nice.
And a silent auction of some terrific sports memorabilia, and also door prizes galore. So, and last but not least, a chance to meet as many as 30 to 40 former Saints players that will be there as part of the Saints Alumni Weekend for the Saints Hall of Fame.
Dude, that's a bargain.
It's pretty good, dude. It's a good function.
That's a bargain. That's for sure. At Ken Trahan's the way to follow him over on Twitter. You mentioned 27 wrestlers. Like, I'm in. That's really good.
Come on, man. Yeah. Come on.
Thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
All right, that's my pleasure.
Yeah, for sure. CrescentCitySports.com is the way to check out. Jordan, the intern, you got an update on the Maryland situation?
Maryland.
Turn your mic on.
Hey. Maryland accepts responsibility for Jordan McNair's death.
Wow.
DJ Durkin's still on leave.
Lawsuit.
Yep.
Quick break. We come back. We'll put a wraps on things. Again, look, I'm not even saying that because it's, trust me, the family would rather not a dollar, if you know what I'm getting at. Right? I don't know. I don't know why that's, I guess it's, like I said, stories like this, they hit home. I mean, it's not even just in the world of sports. You know? Saw a story over the weekend, Jordan, of a woman delivering a child in the cart and tosses it in the dumpster. I'm like, what do you do? You know, I'm just like, I can't wait. Not because I don't want to talk to you guys anymore, but in 15 minutes or so and go wrap up some work here, and then coming up in an hour or so, I get to see Little Man. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Just, we got to remember at the end of the day, it's sports. People's lives matter. Those are people's kids. You know, and I'm going to have to trust one day for whatever it is, music class, tutoring in science, whatever, you know, little guy decides to go in, I'm going to have to trust somebody with him. It makes me nervous. It really does. Somebody trusted you with me, Jordan. Just imagine that. I know. I agree. Sports Hangover wraps it up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The road to the big leagues goes through New Orleans. And it's baseball season at the Shrine on Airline. We've got giveaways, fireworks, fun promotions, and so much more. Tickets start at just $5. Every Thursday, bring your dog. And it's Thirsty Thursday with discounted drink specials. Fireworks are back every Friday. We also offer group discounts. And our suites and hospitality areas are available for groups of any size. For tickets and information, visit cakesbaseball.com. Baseball is back at the Shrine on Airline. Play ball.
Preparing now for the next storm is an absolute necessity here in South Louisiana. Hurricane Shutter Company can give you the protection you need, offering roll-up, Bahama, Colonial, and accordion shutters. They also offer storm panels, storm screens, garage door braces, and more. Did you know their shutters also protect you against vandalism and conserve on energy, too? Protect your home today. Call Hurricane Shutter Company for a free on-site estimate and let them advise you on which alternative is right for your home. Visit HurricaneShutterCompany.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't he?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
For the ESPN NFL Power Rankings, get out. The Saints are number three. I love that. Also, we talked to Sean Kelly a little bit earlier about the Pelicans and their schedule. And, yeah, look, it is what it is. But I'll take Max Kellerman. The first take saying that he believes Anthony Davis will surpass LeBron at the end of this year as the MVP. Look at you fist pumping. You're ready to go when that takes place. Hard to believe what, September 23rd or something like that is Pelicans training camp. October 17th is the season opener at Houston. I think Sean said the 31st, right? September? Is that right? Where he said it's a preseason game? That's incredible. It's right there. I know you're ready.
I want AD to just dunk all over Boogie. Just give it to him.
You're already looking for that?
Yeah.
Boogie?
Straight up dunk over him.
Let's see when that first game is. When do you think that is?
Against the Warriors?
It's interesting. Sean Kelly said only three road take it on goal. Sean mentioned that first six pretty good ones on the road. So the final home game of a four-game stretch to Houston, and you come home, host Sacramento, the Clippers, Brooklyn, Utah. You're on the road for this doozy. Denver, Golden State, Portland, which, by the way, Golden State and Portland are back-to-back. San Antonio, Oklahoma City. It's an interesting stretch to start the season. We'll know real quick.
It's going to be MVP of the league.
Halloween, Golden State. Halloween night's a Wednesday, by the way, for all you party. Are you dressing Halloween?
Boogie bet ghost. He appear. He's not going to
win. Boogie's not playing first.
Hey.
Boogie's not playing. Let's scroll to January. Yeah, he can go no research, whatever it is. That he, no, zero doubt. That's it.
Didn't he want to play like the first?
I have zero doubt he's not ready on first.
Didn't he want to play the first game of the season?
Zero doubt that's happening. Right after that presser, he's going to take his time.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Be smart about it. I'd be shocked if he's there on Halloween.
He better.
I mean,
not.
He'll be there on the bench.
I don't know.
He'll be there on a bench.
You think he goes to the Smoothie King Arena?
No, at Golden State. I just told
no,
you.
No, but like when they do play here, do you think he comes?
It's not until the end of the season. Yeah, he should be here. It's Tuesday, April 9th. It's the only time you get to see Golden State. You got to wait all the
we
way.
We better have courtside.
You
got to
wait.
All.
Think of this. You'll be in the month that the Saints will be drafting a player when you see Golden State. That's how long the NBA season is.
You know what's upsetting?
You'll be 2.5 weeks essentially away because it's a Tuesday and the draft is Thursday. So you'll be a little over two weeks away essentially from the NFL draft before you get to see Boogie back at the blender.
See, now that I'm covering, like helping you cover these games.
Uh-huh.
I can't boo him, which is going to hurt.
No, you can't boo him.
It's going to hurt. Not to just boo.
Stop it.
Boogie, you suck.
Stop it.
You bum.
Say this. The end, as Sean Kelly says, you look at the first 10 and the last 10. Got Houston, Atlanta, Sacramento, LeBron and the Lakers, Sunday, March 31st at home. Charlotte at home. Quick, brief road trip out west at Phoenix, at Sacramento, before you come back and wrap things up on Tuesday, April 9th, against Golden State. I'm happy with it. Look, bottom line, the start and the end of the season, a lot more home games than they have in the past. Got to do well at the blender, man. You got to turn the blender into a home court advantage. Really do. So LeBron... It's an ESPN game the first time. December 21st in the Lakers. That'll be on ESPN. I want to say, yeah, Saturday to February 23rd is when the Lakers come to town. You ready for that? And then the next one will be Sunday, March 31st. You got to wait all the way to 2019 to see LeBron in the Lakers jersey.
All right, I just want to put this out there for all you Pelicans bandwagoners.
Okay.
I don't want to see any purple and gold coming into the Smoothie King. Oh, LeBron.
You
really flew all the way from L.A. to come watch the Pelicans play?
You never know.
The Lakers
never
play?
Never know. Hey, good luck to the East Bank Little League ladies. They're playing the World Series semifinals game. Taking on Ohio, ESPN2. Go check them out tonight and wish them well. Sean Kelly, Mike Triplett, Tim Grubbs all joined us along with Ken Trahan. If you missed any of it, SoundCloud, Google Play, and iTunes. We'll see you tomorrow at Shipley's Donuts, 2561 Metairie Road, 12 to 3 p.m. for the Sports Hangover. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up now on ESPN New Orleans.